Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for this time that we have together to learn and to continue to grow in our faith and our relationship with you. Teach us from your word this morning, God, for it is the truth. In Christ's name, amen. Karl Barth was a German theologian who lived in the last century and is considered the greatest theologian of that century. He wrote voluminously articles, textbooks. He was a profound figure in the theological world and the world as a whole. His teachings and writings came at the time when Nazi Germany was ascending to power in Germany and was trying to co-opt the authority of the church for their own political purposes. And Barth stood firmly against the Nazis and was the chief author of a declaration that we call the Barmen Declaration. It's in our Book of Confessions as Presbyterians, of one of the guiding documents of how we interpret Scripture. And that clearly stated that the state had no authority to co-opt the church for its own purposes, that the church stood separately from the power of the state. Barth was a profound thinker, a profound and voluminous writer. If you would stack the books and articles that he wrote, it would be as tall as this building. At the end of his life, Dr. Barth was being interviewed. And the interviewer sat down and said, "Dr. Barth, after all of this time, all of your research, all of your writing, what would you say is the most important truth that you have learned that you would want to pass on to the next generation?" And Barth paused for a second, and he took in the enormity of such a question, and then he said in German, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Probably the first thing he learned, the first song he learned as a little boy, contained the most profound and central truth. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It would be very difficult for me to overstate the importance of the text that was just read. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, particularly verses 3 and 4. These are the central words that are taught to every Jewish child as their first prayer, as their first memorized part of Scripture. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone," or "the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord, your God, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might." This prayer is commonly known in the Jewish community as the Shema. It's called the Shema because that is the Hebrew word for hear, the first word of the prayer. "Hear, O Israel," Shema. That is taught to children at their homes by their parents. It's their first Sunday school prayer. It's their "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It's their "God so loved the world that he gave us his only son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:16, again, a core teaching of the Christian church. For the Jewish people, it's the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and all your might," all your strength. You know, Jesus wasn't a Christian. He was Jewish. He grew up in the Jewish community. And as a little boy, he was taught the story of his people. He was taught Scripture at home. And he was taught the Shema. And he grew up to become a rabbi, a teacher of the law, a respected teacher. And later in his life, you'll recall that he was asked, "Rabbi, what is the greatest commandment? What's the most important thing for us to know from the Scripture?" And lo and behold, what does he quote? The Shema, the very first prayer that he learned as a little boy from his mom and dad. had lodged itself so deeply in his heart, when Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul. He adds your mind and your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. This is the most important thing that you can teach your children. This is the most important thing that anybody can know. And he paused and he said, and there's a second that's very close to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's Leviticus chapter 16. Jesus put these two commandments together in such a memorable way, in such a profound way. Why is this so centrally important? Why is this the most important thing for anybody to know? Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one, or the Lord alone. The Shema reminds us that there is nothing more important in this world than to know who God is. That there is only one God, and only one God who deserves our worship, our allegiance. And that the Lord is our God. Other people may have other gods, but for our community, for our people, for our family, we are centered on a relationship with the one true God, who is God alone. He doesn't have rivals. He's not the God that's a God on the weekend, and we have other gods throughout the rest of the week. We don't pray to him at certain times and follow other gods at other times. No, we have one God, a central focusing power in our lives that should be the focus of all of our attention. And how do we relate to this God? The Shema tells us, you shall love this one God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. The heart is the central part of our allegiance. It's to whom we are devoted. The heart for the Hebrew people was included. The mind, it was kind of the focus of your attention. It was the thing that you found yourself orienting your life around. Your soul was your life. That this relationship with this God was so important, you'd be willing to lay down your life in obedience to this God. Jesus memorized that, and in fact, he was called upon to do that exact thing. When he died upon a cross, he was loving God with all of his soul, with his very life, and with all of your might. Your might, the things that we are able to do with the gifts that God has given us, our time, our talents, our money, should all be centrally devoted around our loving relationship with God. This is the first time in Scripture that we are commanded to love God. Before this, the commands are fear God, obey God, follow God, revere God. But now suddenly, the Bible takes a huge leap in commanding us to love God. Love is a trust word. Love is a relationship word. The Bible invites us into a relationship with God around whom we orient our lives, the only one true God. All of that's contained in this one tiny little statement. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's the most important thing you can teach your children in the Jewish culture. And as the Christian movement grew out of Judaism, I would argue it may be the most important thing to teach our children today as well. Notice the emphasis is on the parents. Jesus didn't go down to the local synagogue and hang around with the rabbi to find out what's the most important law. No, this was taught in the house by Mary and Joseph, parents who took on that spiritual responsibility for the nurture of their children. The synagogue was simply there to enforce and support and encourage the parents. But you'll notice in the Shema, the emphasis and the focus is on the parents. Teach this to your children. Bind it upon their heart. Parents must be the spiritual role models and providers for another generation of children to grow up. You know, we're all concerned about all the influences in our children's lives, the power of social media and the internet and all of the things they're exposed to that we didn't have to deal with a generation ago that are now impinging, coming into our homes, whether we want it to or not. But friends, make no mistake about it. Parents are still far and away the most influential people in a child's life. Your children are learning from you. Your children are learning from you each and every day. By what you say, and more importantly, by how you and I live. They are keen observers of the homes in which they are growing. And so, parents, we have to ask ourselves, what are we teaching our children? Scripture says we should teach them to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Are they learning that in your home? The Bible says we're to teach them that there's only one God. The God of Scripture is the God of our community, of our lives, of our home. Are they learning that in your home? Or are they learning that there are other gods vying for allegiance in first place in their lives? What do they learn when they come to their grandparents' home? Scripture clearly says that the parents, the grandparents, the home is where the kids are going to learn what is most important, what is central. You know, this day is such an important day for our community as we come to the table. The table in the Protestant churches was not the center of Locus. The pulpit is the center. In the Protestant churches, the scriptures, the interpretation of the Bible took first place in the Protestant churches, but we did not remove the table. No, far from it. The table still occupies a central place of importance in the life of the church because so much is taught at the table. The words of institution, the focus of the table is our story brought to life each and every time we come here. On the night when he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he said, take and eat, this is my, his body broken? Where was it broken? On the cross? Did you guys learn that? Have you talked about that story with your parents? And then he took the cup and he poured out the cup and he said, this cup is his blood? Where was his blood shed? On the cross? I mean, Jesus died for us? Do we remember that every time we come to the table? But do we also remember that Jesus, who died on a cross, is with us. He invites us at the table. Our God isn't dead. He is alive. And he welcomes us to come and share this meal with him today. You know, one of the things that I love about this church, one of the many things, is the way in which the leaders of our church understand that our job is to empower the parents to do their job. If you get an email from Maureen Harshman, which can often be rather lengthy. You get down to the bottom, and you'll see her tagline. It says, empowering parents to teach their children. That's what she is all about, and that's what this communion class is all about. It's taking this text right out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, teach the children, and we're insisting, inviting, welcoming the parents to be a part of this experience so that you can go home and talk about it. That you can be empowered to teach your children this centrally important part of the story of our faith so that it can be passed on from generation to generation to generation. This is our Shema. This is our place of passing on the faith. And the parents, the family, is the place in which that must take place. Otherwise, we will forget who we are, and the one to whom we belong. Lord, thank you so much for inviting us all to your table and the remarkable story that is told every time we arrive here of your obedience to the God, your loving God with all of your soul that would cost you your very life. How this deep and profound teaching made its way into the depth of your heart and your mind and your strength, and how you now pass it on to us and to the next generation and from them to the generations to come. Oh God, help us to be more diligent about what we teach our children, knowing that they are watching and learning from us each and every day. We pray for our parents here today, God, that they would be powerful role models and teachers for their children. We lift all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.